I think there has to be, and it's very clear from how you're talking about this, it needs to be somebody that is genuinely interested in the stories and has a huge passion for making sure that people get the help that they need. And all it takes sometimes is to get in a room with these people where they feel it's safe enough to talk about. If they have signed something way back when, if there is a code of secrecy that they have been encouraged to have in place, just having somebody like you go to them and say, look, that's all well and good. However, we need to move you personally forward and away from any negativity that you may still be experiencing as a result. Yeah. I know you spoke about having family members who served. What was there a sort of a key point for you that made you want to get involved in this? Is there sort of a specific story where you thought, yeah, I can really see the difference?
I mean, I think it was just that interest that, you know, my own personal experiences. I thought, actually, I know that, for instance, my father, he didn't talk about his experiences until I was older. So he just didn't suddenly blurt out. And I think he was very candid in terms of how much he told me. But the more interested I got and the more questions I asked, the more interested he became. And it was clear that there were things that, in hindsight now, I didn't realise them at the time, but in hindsight, I think there are things that clearly did affect him and impacted on him and led him to be the person that he was. So I was thinking, it's likely there will be other people out there who will be in the same position. And if I can do anything to kind of help people,
yep,
that's what I'm interested in doing. You know, I came into the charity sector after a few years, well, you don't laugh, a few years, you know, working in engineering and manufacturing. So I'm not a trained support worker, charity worker, but I came in because I wanted to help people. Mm. And I just find veterans fascinating people.
I know you've had a few, I suppose, case studies is the right sort of way to reference it, really, of people that really have benefited from what you've done so far. Can you talk me through that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a wide range, actually. I mean, my first case was interesting in terms of, you know, it was a gentleman who was moving into sheltered accommodation, and he simply needed some furniture and needed some clothes. And this was a real good example of us working with SAFA, because SAFA were providing the funds for that to happen. Now, Age UK Cheshire East has a furniture store, it has shops, charity shops. So we were able to then go with him and his daughter and simply visit those and say, right, piece of furniture, dining room table, chairs, go and choose some clothes for him out of the charity shop. Now, he was absolutely delighted with that, because this was a big move for him to move from his home into sheltered accommodation. Mm. So that's one example. We've got examples of trying to help people through this wonderful benefits system that we have in this country, where people have to be assessed and people have to complete, you know, quite long questionnaires. So we've helped people through that. Got an individual who's wheelchair bound, had a path that went down from his house down to the road, and it was rough and unkept. So we persuaded Cheshire East Council to kind of repair that for him. A number of people now who we've referred into the Breakfast Club, particularly the one in Macclesfield, which is kind of an amazing group of 60, 70 people who regularly meet once a month on a Saturday. And, you know, inviting people to go along to that has been, I would say, life-changing to some people, just simply doing that.
Yeah, because again, I mean, I have hobbies, I have groups that I go to for just experiencing life, really, and finding people with like mind and shared interests. And if you took that away from my life and what happens on a week-by-week, month-to-month basis, I think I would feel pretty isolated, and that's without any issue. So if you add the complexity of people that need that sociability, but also to be able to share a very specific period in their life, that's how important it is, isn't it?
Social isolation, isn't it? It's the term that gets bandied about very regularly now, not just for older people, but, you know, people generally being quite isolated socially, quite lonely. And even though some of these gentlemen, won't always admit to being isolated and lonely, when you get behind it, they clearly are.
Yeah.
And we've got actually quite an exciting couple of projects coming up where we're looking at setting up groups in one in Nantwich and one in Macclesfield. We're working with the British Legion. You know, we're looking at setting up groups where people who might be on their own, isolated, coming together to reminisce, to talk about their experiences, to, you know, share the crack, whatever the terminology they want to use, you know, we'll use it. And I think that's something that's come out of this project, is that that doesn't exist at the moment, and therefore we'll try and fill that gap, as opposed to just doing something that we've always done. So I think that's quite exciting, and there's a possibility we will spread that out over more of the Cheshire East.
Mm-hmm. Just to reiterate on the element of joining forces, so bringing all of these things together. If somebody recognises that there is a relative, there is a friend of the family, there's that guy that lives down the road that I know he lives on his own and he doesn't seem to have many visitors, but he's friendly enough, he smiles at me when I walk past. I think there's more to his situation. If there's somebody in your life like that, is it okay to come to you guys and say, look, I don't know much about it, but is there any more that you can do to investigate further?
Yeah, that definitely. And that probably is where we're likely to find more of what we are calling hidden veterans.
Mm-hmm.
It will be through other people, because they will not come forward themselves. And I think what we're aiming to do is to provide that information, advice to the individuals themselves or to friends and family. We're there to kind of signpost them to other organisations. But I think more importantly, what I want to see us doing is providing that one-to-one guided, you know, real support to somebody who might be quite vulnerable. So we don't just want to say, oh, ring this number. We want to say we can be there for a period of time, and we'll try and get things in place which will mean you're not going to be on your own, you're not going to be as isolated. So I think, you know, anybody can contact us, and we'll, you know, we'll do what we think is the best thing.
I think it puts people off, doesn't it, when you think, oh yeah, you'll need to ring this organisation, because I know I put off phoning companies because it's press one for this, press two for that. You're on hold for a certain amount of time. But just talking to you today and finding out more makes me realise that this is a service that really has a personal touch, doesn't it? It removes all of that. It is one-to-one. It is somebody, it is you that goes out, finds out more information and sort of holds your hand, for want of a better phrase, really, through the whole process.
Yeah, it is. That's what we want it to be. You know, that's if we simply just do what other organisations sometimes end up getting funded to do, and that is signpost, and I hate that word, signpost, you know, oh, you need to ring this number, you need to ring that number, you could be passed on. And you end up going through that. It almost feels like you're going through press one for this and press two for that, even though it might only be it might be separate numbers, but it just feels like that process. And yeah, we want people to ring us up and feel like there's somebody there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How do you walk away from your working day? Because at the end of an experience with a veteran, that has to have an effect on you as well.
It depends on the day, you're right. You know, there are times when I've walked away probably feeling sad, angry, frustrated, because we've got a system somehow that's let an individual down or is letting an individual down. But other times walking away feeling I've made a difference, or, you know, done as much as we possibly can to make a difference in somebody's lives. And when somebody says, thanks, Mike, you know, I couldn't have done that without you, then that feels pretty good.
I believe that as well. Thanks, Mike. I don't think they can do it without you. I think you do an amazing job. You really do. And looking forward to the next 12 months, I hope to be chatting to you in a year's time and finding out more about the stories that are really helping, the differences that you have made, and I'm sure that you'll go on to do that.
It'd be great. It'd be a pleasure to do that.
Thanks, Mike.